last Lord's Day, that we got a glimpse again of what awaits us as we look in anticipation to the New Jerusalem. But it, as is typical with the Lord, when He shows forth His redemptive work with glorious pictures that we are to look forward to, He also gives us, accompanies that, or those sorts of things with great warning. And that's what He does in this section of Scripture. That day of vengeance spoken of in the last section, just briefly, that we heard last Lord's Day. Now it becomes clearer what happens. The Lord sending forth the great warrior to come and the judge of the world at the last day. And we see the blood-stained warrior in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 63. As is shown in Revelation, as is the New Jerusalem. So at the judgment described here, we see the winepress of God's wrath, that it will produce a great tide of blood. So you must ask whether this warrior is your friend or your enemy. That's kind of the question that's going back and forth throughout that whole section, the passage we just read. Is he your friend or your enemy? You look at verse 10, if you grieve the Spirit. And notice, sometimes we question this, the Spirit at work in the Old Testament. But there He is. Very clear, a few times spoken of there. If you look at verse 10, if you grieve the Spirit, same word it quotes of the New Testament. If you grieve the Spirit, turning from the Lord, He will be your enemy. So do not rebel, beloved. And so with this before Judah, this warning, and promised exile, Isaiah prays to the Lord to the end of chapter 64. He's praying. And once again we see what true prayer is. Now we won't go into the different aspects of it. But we do see once again that it's based on the promises of God. Upon God's electing love, verse 9 of chapter 64. You see there the covenant formula of my people. Again, in verse 9. There is this relationship of the Father and the Son going on as well. There's a sympathy of God that characterizes God's covenant mercy and His presence. It even describes in this prayer, the discipline of the Lord is not pleasant for the moment, but part of His faithful caring and loving us. These are some of the loving kindnesses of the Lord at the heart of Isaiah's prayer. We see also chapter 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven and see. Isaiah asking to look upon the church, the nation of Israel, Judah. There is a church that needs the Lord, and this is how we ought to pray. Because our church, we need the Lord. Every step, if we look at the church as a whole, we definitely need the Lord. And our covenant God has an answer to Isaiah's prayer in chapter 65. That's what we see there. As Isaiah prayed for Israel, Romans tells us, even what we heard in Galatians in one verse at the end of Galatians 6 this morning, Romans tells us that not all who are descended from Israel, physical Israel, are of Israel, the spiritual Israel, those, the Israel of faith. Not all Israel are believers, but there is a division between those who seek God and those who forsake Him, verses 10 and 11, chapter 65. The Lord will stretch out His hand towards those who forsake Him, and yet the Lord is compassionate. Verse 12, I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. The Lord pleaded with them, but they remained obstinate. And so for such, verse 15, they will be cursed. But verse 16, there is coming a time when former troubles are forgotten and they are hidden from His sight. So there's a warning to the people here. That all who forsake the Lord will be cursed. The blood-stained warrior should bring solemnity to the people of God. That those who were hearing Isaiah in that day were to be driving without delay to Jesus, to fleeing to Him. And so you are called now to do. To come without delay before curses come upon you that are warned about here. For they are the same we find in Revelation to those who forsake the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Father, it is a warning to us that we would not forsake you, that we would not even grieve your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, calls us not to sin against you, but work in our hearts to put that sin to death, to mortify our sin. Even the desire to put our trust in the things of this world or ourselves. And such we should not do, for even here it says, even our righteous deeds are as filthy rags before your sight. And so let us rely upon the righteousness of Christ alone. And that we would believe unto salvation. That we would not be the people of the people of God or of the covenant people of God in the visible church, that is, and yet forsake your name. For what greater curses will come upon us than those who never hear the gospel? Or those who know more or who have much, much is required. And so, Father, we ask that you would spare all who have heard your word, even all of us here who have often heard your word, so that we are beyond excuse. Just even as people of the world who've never heard the gospel are beyond excuse, how much more are all of us, beyond excuse, or we've even heard the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and much of your revealed will throughout the scriptures, if not all of it. So Father, keep us from sin. Keep us from grieving your spirit. Keep us from forsaking your name. So Father, we ask that you would be our God. We would be your people. And we would believe the promises and pray according to the promises. And that as you call out to us, as we've have remained in that continual sin, the remaining sin that is left for those of us who are your people. Father, even then, call out to us that we would turn back to you as you have done here, and that we would turn back and not have those hard hearts, but soften our hearts. We have broken your law, all of it. Father, we ask that you would cause us to love you and all of our hearts and souls and minds and strengths, and even our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we confess our sin. Be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness for your name's sake. Even we ask for, as we ask for the healing of our souls, our hearts, our wills, our affections, our minds. Father, even heal our bodies. That which we often focus mostly on. Lord, heal those things. That we might focus more intently upon you in our hearts, perhaps, if that be your will. For we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.